Coming up next on A Daily Walk.
Here in Genesis 1:1, we see that God created. Man can make things from things, but only God can create, for God is an intelligent designer. And only an intelligent designer could create a just, right universe, not chance. Our universe is a just, right universe.
Whether you're talking about a home, a car, or that smartphone you have in your back pocket, we realize it didn't just come together by itself, by some random chance. Someone designed and made it for a purpose. So why do we have such a hard time believing God created you and me, the world, and everything in it? Today on A Daily Walk, we take you back to the beginning and the creation account recorded for us in Genesis. The first verses in our Bible speak of God's creative work. Pastor John Randall attracts our attention to this as he introduces us to the book of Genesis.
Obviously, something exists. You don't get something from nothing. Therefore, a necessary and eternal something exists. The only two options are an eternal universe or an eternal creator. Science and philosophy have disproven the concept of an eternal universe. There's only an eternal creator. He exists. He spoke it into existence. I remember reading former atheist Lee Strobel. Maybe you've read his work, some of his books, good stuff. But he arrived at this end as he was doing his own research. Here's what he said. Thought it was good. He said, quote, "Essentially, I realized that to stay an atheist, I would have to believe that nothing produces everything. Non-life produces life. Randomness produces fine-tuning. Chaos produces information. Unconsciousness produces consciousness. And non-reason produces reason. I found that those leaps of faith were simply too big for me to take, especially in light of the affirmative case for God's existence. In other words, in my assessment, the Christian worldview accounted for the totality of the evidence much better than the atheistic worldview." I just thought through it. I came to the conclusion, there is a God. One day, students in one of Albert Einstein's classes were saying that they had decided that there was no God. Einstein asked them how much of all the knowledge in the world they had themselves collectively as a class. The students discussed it for a while, and they decided that they had 5% of human knowledge, of all human knowledge amongst themselves in the class. Einstein thought their estimate was a little generous. But he replied and he said, quote, "Is it possible that God exists in the 95% you don't know?" Here in Genesis 1:1, we see that God created. Man can make things from things, but only God can create, for God is an intelligent designer. And only an intelligent designer could create a just, right universe, not chance. Our universe is a just, right universe. Many scientists today have sought to answer the questions as to our origin. And again, it takes more faith to believe the theories that they come up with, the hypotheses. They say, in the beginning, by fortuitous occurrences of accidental happenings, there was a compression of gases and explosions cooling off and forming a planetary system, and certain planet with special atmospheric conditions have made it possible to support a form of life upon it. Fortuitous occurrences? The Earth was accidentally placed 93 million miles away from the sun. And as the atmosphere had a combination of nitrogen and oxygen and a balance of 79%, 28%, with only a 1% variant gases, and then there was this blanket around the ozone, the magnetic forces circulating around the Earth, protecting it from cosmic rays, and then accidentally, there was 2/3 water to 1/3 landmass ratio, and then the waters there, because of circumstances unbeknownst to us, came together at just the right time, in the right place, in the right proportions, under the right pressure, under the right heat, and spontaneously, they generated the first cell. And that's how it happened. Not. evolutionary theory basically states that complex elements have developed from simpler elements and living organisms from non-living chemicals by chance of association. The theory of evolution itself is less scientific and more a philosophy about the origin of life and the meaning of man. And it contradicts the Bible and the basic laws of science, for that matter. Sir Arthur Keith, he summarizes the evolutionary belief or doctrine as follows. He said, quote, "Evolution is unproven and unprovable. We believe it, however, because the only alternative is an act of creation by God, and that is unthinkable." Oh, okay. You know why? Because if there is a God, that means you're accountable to him. And one day you're going to have to stand before him and answer for your life. So better to explain God away and say he doesn't exist than to acknowledge who he is and repent of your sin. That's the real issue with the heart of man. There's no demonstrable evidence for the Big Bang. And chemical evolution has failed to create living systems in the laboratory. In spite of billions of fossils being found, there are no unquestionable fossils that show a transition between any of the major life forms. Monkeys are still having monkeys. People are still having people. Someone said that Darwin gave us a creation story, one in which God was absent and undirected natural processes did all the work. The creation story has held sway for more than 100 years, but it is now on the way out. It was Malcolm Muggeridge. He said, "I myself am convinced that the theory of evolution, especially to the extent to which it has been applied, will be one of the greatest jokes in the history books of the future. Posterity will marvel that so flimsy and dubious a hypothesis could be accepted with incredible credulity that it has." I love the way he said it. That's why I quoted him. "By these suppositions that they put forth and suggestions, we're only here by accident." But friends, listen, you are not an accident. You were created for a purpose, a plan that God has for you. And it's no wonder that some people want to live like animals when they just think that there is no God and I'm just here by accident. You are not an accident. God knew you before you were ever formed. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We come to realize we're here because of God, and I can know that my life has meaning and purpose. God made you. God made me according for his purpose. And because God made the earth and all the inhabitants, there is a reason for your life. There's a reason for your existence. The universe in which we live displays a divine plan and designer behind the design. In the beginning, God. Listen, Psalm 19. Verse 1, it says this, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork." You go out and you look up at the stars and you realize, how are they there? How are they just hanging there and not plummeting to the earth? What's going on? I'll tell you, God created it. He flung the stars into space, the Bible says. It says that he calls them all by name. We don't even know how many stars there are. He just flung them out. It's the work of his fingers. He just threw them out there. And yet he knows them all by name. It was Jeremiah that said in Jeremiah chapter 10, "He has made the earth by his power, and he has established the world by his wisdom, and he stretched out the heavens at his discretion. When he utters his voice, there's a multitude of waters in the heavens, and he causes the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He makes lightning for the rain. He brings the wind out of his treasuries." The creative design and power of God seen in his creation. Isaiah chapter 48 in verse 13. "Indeed, the Lord said, my hand has laid the foundation of the earth, and my right hand has stretched out the heavens. And when I call to them, they stand up together." This is the God we're talking about. Again, Isaiah chapter 40, this time it says, "Who measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, measured heaven with its span, and calculated the dust of the earth in measure?" Let me just repeat that to you. If you didn't catch that, he measured the heavens with the span of his hand. I can't measure very much with the span of my hand. God measured the entire universe, the span of his hand. Folks, listen, here's what I want you to understand tonight. Your God is big. He's strong. He's powerful. He spans the universe with his hand. How big is your God? What are you worried about tonight? We say, why do I worry? Why do I worry? I'll tell you why I worry, because I'm not trusting God. That's why I worry. I know the answer to that question. Take that microphone. I'll tell you why I'm worried. No, put that down. No. He spans the universe with his hands. The Bible says in Psalm 8, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon, the stars which you've ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? David said, Lord, when I look up and I just see the vast display of the beauty of your creation, the moon, the stars, it's the work of your hands. And I think to myself, who am I that you would even think about me or love me the way that you do? I'm in awe. I'm astounded. Moses establishes the fact that God created the heavens and the earth. And he goes on further in verse 2 to describe the earth, what the earth was like before it was created. Again, verse 2 now, the earth was without form and void. Darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. First of all, the earth was without form and without void. It means a place that was, it's disordered, empty, uninhabitable. Darkness was there, no light. But it also says the Spirit of God was brooding, literally brooding, hovering over the face of the deep. You know, when I read that passage, of course it speaks of creation, but it also reminds me so much of what God can do in a life. Before you know Jesus, you know something? We're just without form, without just void of relationship with God, dwelling in darkness of sin, and the Spirit of God begins to move in your life, convicts you of sin, draws you to the Savior, and suddenly light comes in, and everything changes. You're a new creation through Jesus Christ. Very succinctly, Moses says that this is what was taking place before God began to create. Well, now that we've established the fact that God is the creator of the universe, now he establishes the construction of the universe. What was it like to construct the universe? And Moses describes how that in 6 days, God created the heavens and the earth. Pause there. I will tell you, we will pick up the pace as you're like, we're going to be in Genesis till Jesus comes back. Listen, no, we're going to move forward. This is the intro. There's a lot here. I want to set it straight before we progress. Stay awake or I'll call you by name. But there's a debate by many godly scholars, some maybe not godly, as to how long it took to create the universe. Different interpretations, different things, and they've differed on time that it actually took to create the heavens and the earth. And they never debated so much about the truth. These are, you know, scholars, I should say, Christian scholars, or the factual historical that God created the heavens and the earth. That's other people that. But the people who are believers who want to debate how much time, and I'm just going to point this out to you. There's the solar day view. Some declare that it was a 24-hour solar day view. Creation took place in 144 hours, all right? Then there's the punctuated activity view, meaning that the 24-hour days of creation were separated by different indefinite periods of time, all right? There's the gap theory, they say, that states that there is a gap between verses 1 of Genesis and verse 2, and there was a rebellion that took place. They say that maybe it was when Satan fell, and then God had to redo the whole thing. Then there's the day-age theory. The days of creation correspond to the geological ages. Then there's the framework theory, meaning the days are literary structuring device to convey the truth of creation and not so much the consecutive days. All right, here's what I know for sure. God created it. Is it 6 literal days? I tend to lean that way. Oh, Pastor John, That's where I'm at. And I'll tell you something else. Just so you know, it's not a salvation issue that we're talking about here. Was it 6 literal? Was it 6? I personally, I'm good with that. God can do anything. I think it was 6 days myself. That's what it says. And you can spend time debating it and we'll get through the book of Genesis. I mean, we're here. He created it. And I believe it was in 6 days, literal. I tend to be a young earth guy. I don't believe necessarily the earth is billions of years old. I lean the other way. When I get to heaven, the Lord's going to make it totally clear. I do know he created it. I acknowledge the fact that he's the creator. He made a just right universe. And again, you can go round and round and debate. And I've had people show up here. Are you a young earth or an old earth, Pastor John? Why are you asking? I just want to know if I'm going to go here. And I know why they say that. I know why they say that, because of what follows the old earth and how that, I understand where they're going. And so the young earth, okay, I'm staying. All right, good. It's good. What about salvation? Do you want to know? No, we're good. I'm going to stay. Okay. All right. Is that the once saved always question or no, it's the young earth question. Okay. Glad to have you here. Listen, I don't claim to have the exact number of hours or time frame. The Bible says 6 days. I take the scriptures at what they say here. Here's what the Bible says in Acts chapter 17, verse 24. This is what I know for sure. God, who made the world and everything in it, since he is the Lord of heaven and earth, doesn't dwell in temples made with hands. I know he made it all, and I'm good with that. You did it, Lord. I'm amazed at your creation. And then in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, it says, by faith we understand. I understand by faith that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which are visible. I believe that too. You did it, Lord. I know that it's factual and it's historical, that my God created everything. He created it in his own time in the order described in Scripture. Not evolution, not theistic evolution. Let me tell you, watch out for that. It's theistic evolution. You know, God started it and then it went from there. No. He created it. Don't buy into theistic evolution. That I'd die on that hill. Not Big Bang or any proposed theory of man, but whether it was six literal 24-hour periods of time is not a test of orthodoxy in the Christian faith. It's important, but it's not whether you're saved or not, whether you believed it was. I know he created it. I'm good with it. And if you have other things you want to send me all your information, please send it to Tony and we'll go through it together. As we move into the, I'm kidding. Send it to Chris. No, send it to us. We'd love to. I'm always open to learn. I really am. I want to learn. I'm keep growing. But as you move into the days of creation, there's going to be a few things that you're going to notice. One, how that God in the first 3 days of creation was forming, and then in the second set of 3 days, he was filling that which he formed. Thirdly, you can make note of how God made three different spheres of activity: the heavens, the land masses, and the water. And then he filled each of those. He spoke the world into existence, and it was so. And he will say over and over again that it was good. How about day one? Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And he divided the light from the darkness, called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Most commonly, this is used in Hebrew to describe a 24-hour period of time. I just want to say that. That's kind of why I believe it's a 24-hour period of time. But you know, you can have your thoughts. But three things we see here. Light is spoken into existence. Light is divided from darkness. And light is named day and night. From the very beginning, folks, don't miss this. From the very beginning, the Lord made a distinction and a difference between light and darkness. For 3 days of creation, light was shining before the sun was created. God's glory. People ask the question, how could there be light without the sun? The sun hasn't even been created yet. Get that, right? God hasn't even created. I mean, this is the very beginning. Let there be light. And then he eventually divides it. The Bible tells us that God himself is light. In 1 John 1:5, this is the message that you've heard from the beginning. We declare to you that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. God himself was light for the first 3 days of creation. And we'll see, he will once again be the light in the new heavens and new earth, because there's not going to be any need for the sun or moon any longer, because the glory of God will be the light, the Bible tells us in Revelation 22. But guys, when you think about it, and I got a few minutes to camp out on this thought for a minute. Light is such an amazing part of our universe. Light helps us to understand the physical universe. In fact, at the heart of Einstein's theory of relativity is the equation E equals mc squared. Energy equals mass multiplied by speed of light squared. Light, I mean, just a couple things about light that are fascinating to me. And I want to put it in the context of God just saying, let there be light. And it was. Light travels at 186,280 miles per second. Light from the sun takes about 8 minutes and 20 seconds to go 93 million miles to the Earth. A photon is a bundle of electromagnetic energy and the basic unit that makes up all light. And the photon is sometimes referred to as a quantum of electromagnetic energy. And on a sunny day, in just 1 second, 1 billion photons of light can strike a pinhead. God said, let there be light. And there was. You know, there's certain things about light that we still do not fully comprehend. That's how fascinating it is. And God just said it. That's what blows my mind. Let there be light. And all the things that we're just scratching the surface of what it is, God just said it, and it was. That's what's so mind-boggling to me. God used one tool, his word, spoke it into existence. Without light, our universe would be very dark, a frightening place to live. Life as we know it could not exist without light. The Bible has much to say about light and darkness. For example, in a spiritual context, you remember it says concerning Jesus that he's connected with light. John chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, in him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. The word of God is referred to as light. Psalm 119 tells us, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God's people are also referred to as light. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, you are the light of the world, like a city that's set on a hill that cannot be hidden. Day one, God created, made a distinction between light and darkness, called them day and called them night.
That is Pastor John Randall on A Daily Walk, and he'll be right back with more from the book of Genesis. You can request the CD, which contains what you just heard and more, for a cost of just $5. Call toll-free 877-242-0828 or go online to adailywalk.org for an instant replay. And if you have a smartphone or tablet, you might want to download the Calvary South OC Church app. This is a great way to listen to Pastor John's studies on your mobile device. We also have a podcast. Search for A Daily Walk where you get your podcasts. We'd also like to encourage you to start following Pastor John on Twitter and Instagram. Be encouraged throughout the week by following John on Twitter at PJRandall7. And on Instagram at John P. Randall. As your kids are heading back to school, we picked out a resource that we believe will be a great encouragement to any parent. It's A Practical Guide for Praying Parents by Erwin Lutzer. Learn how to pray when you have a child with a hardened heart or a wayward prodigal. Also discover how to become a prayer warrior who prays in the face of spiritual warfare. Call us at 877-242-0828 or order online at adailywalk.org. That's A Practical Guide for Praying Parents. And please remember, each gift that is sent in will be responsibly used to help people all over the world grow in their daily walk. In some cases, actually begin a daily walk with the Lord. If this is a ministry you'd like to get behind and support, we've tried to make it easy to donate online at adailywalk.org or, again, call us at 877-242-0828. Even if you're not able or led to give to the ministry, we'd still like to hear from you. Let us know if you find these Bible studies helpful to your daily walk. Pastor John would love to hear what you have to say and pray for you, too. Our email address is adailywalk@gmail.com. Pastor John Randall has a question for you to consider before we call it quits today.
I ask you the question as we conclude. Are you walking in light or are you walking in darkness? The Bible says, walk in the light as he is in the light. And we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. To walk in darkness is a dangerous place to be. Walk in light. Walk in fellowship with God. You were created. I was created for a purpose, and that purpose was to have fellowship with God. That's why He created you. He loves you. He has a plan for you. Maybe you're one of those people, you've been struggling with that. People do struggle with that. What is my purpose? Why am I here? To know God, to make Him known, to serve Him, to live for Him, to fulfill His plan and purpose for your life. And the way that you discover that plan and purpose for your life is by walking in light. So I encourage you to do that. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
The Creation Account, coming up next time on A Daily Walk with Pastor John Randall, where you never have to walk alone. A Daily Walk is a presentation of Calvary South OC.